Welcome to Real Life. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, and you're listening to the Real Life LA podcast, coming to you from the Southern California foothills town of Glendora, California. We're a church for everyone, and we exist to lead lost people to Jesus, building a community of grace with a God-sized vision that reaches from generation to generation. As you hear today's message, we pray that God speaks specifically to you, opens your heart, and shows you how to live each day with more joy, beauty, and wonder.
Well, hello, Real Life Church. It's Pastor Jim. It's great to be with you again. I love the holidays. I love the fact that we're drawing close to our Christmas celebration, the beautiful services that we'll have here, the fact that we get to light Advent candles and draw together with family in this unusual year where people have been longing for community together. If you don't have a community, we want to be your community. Make sure you check us out. Join us online whenever you'd like, but we're also holding services in person safely and in healthy ways on Sunday mornings. We had a lovely barbecue last weekend. Thanks to all of you who volunteered, especially the guys who showed up and barbecued in the kitchen, smoked meat for 24 hours. It was the best food I've eaten all year, and I'm so thankful for them. I just went through the kitchen absolving all their sins, because you know in the Old Testament you take meat to the temple and your sins would be absolved. I don't know. It was a great event, and so thank you to all you who helped and the great musicians who played and those who visited. We look forward to doing that again in not too long. Also, thanks to all the people who are now helping out in our children's ministry. Our children's ministry on Sunday morning has revived, and we are safely and in healthy ways providing spaces for kids to have kids' church while we continue to worship outdoors in the parking lot. And so thanks to all of you who are volunteering and putting your hands to that. It's a lot of work, and it means a lot to our kids and family. So thanks for that. We are now in a series of teachings on Sunday mornings called Unstuck. And in this series, we're looking at getting unstuck from everything 2020 stuck us in. We're looking at getting unstuck from anxiety and depression and exhaustion and all kind of the crummy feelings we have left over from the year 2020. And we're going to get unstuck so as we launch into 2021, we do it as a healthy community gathered in the name of Jesus and looking forward to the future that he has called us to. Let's take a minute and pray. Father, I thank you that you love us and you have not left us stuck. For all the mess that 2020 has made, you are no less in control, and you have not given up your love for us and your vision for us. So help us to catch a glimpse of your vision and to follow faithfully in your footsteps, to go where you lead, Jesus. Take us into a healthier and happier and more hopeful future. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, I want to talk a little bit about getting unstuck this year and look at what 2020 has done that has gotten us stuck and what Jesus has to offer in lieu of that. And I remember a time a few years ago in my own personal experience where I got to talk about the vision for the church and the vision for being a pastor, one of my favorite subjects. And I got to talk about what the church did to a group of people who didn't know what the church does. And fortunately, they were right at about my intellectual level. I was invited to career day at my son's third grade class. And so he invited me, and I figured I'd go in and talk about being a pastor, because that's a career path that a few of us follow. And I did it because I want the secular schools to realize that you can't deny the fact there has been a religious impulse throughout all of human history and every culture. All of us feel that sense. And there are institutions in our society, respected institutions in our society, in which people build their careers. And so I was invited to speak career day at my son's third grade class. Also, I did realize third grade is about my level. I mean, after they get any older than that, I start to get intimidated. So third grade, perfect for me, great topic. Okay, so I go in to this third grade class, and the third graders are a seething bunch of critical skeptics looking to poke holes in my self-esteem and cast doubt on my career. That's what I'm feeling on the inside, so I'm very nervous. I have planned nothing. I don't know what I'm going to talk about because I don't know how to talk to a bunch of third graders. But I'm going to dive in. And so I started to think to myself, looking at this critical mass, kind of, you know, standing over their clipboards, ready to evaluate my career, and I figured, what do third graders like? And I thought, I know what they like. I said to the third grade class, I work at a church, and at the church, we have free donuts. See, I figured that was a good starting point. And all the kids went, ooh, and I was right. And suddenly I realized, today's going to be a lot better day than I thought. And so then I started to think, what else at the church would third graders love? And I said, and you know what else we do at our church? We have a vacation Bible school in the summer. It's like a big camp. And there are 800 kids who come, and there are water slides everywhere, and we have cupcakes. And one kid vigorously raised his hand, and he goes, I've been to that. Is that the one with the water slides? And I said, yes, that's what I just said. And then you said it back, because this is third grade, and that's how we communicate. Yes, we are in the same team. And the kids were now raising hands all over the room. And the teacher started to get a little anxious. I think it was Mrs. Dial getting a little nervous because the kids were starting to get a little bit vigorous. She's like, now, class, let's calm down. Let's calm down. She's like trying to play whack-a-mole with all the kids. Calm down. Hold on. But I would have none of that. I was just getting revved up. And so I was thinking, okay, so what else do third graders like? Oh, I know. We have teenagers at the church, and the teenagers have a youth group. And you know what they do? They go to Disneyland, and they ride golf carts. And the kids are like, oh, my gosh. And now they were raising their hands, but it didn't matter because they were all just shouting out their questions. Who can go to that church? You can go to that church. Do lots of kids go? Tons of kids go. And now the teacher is completely losing control, and I'm like a symphony conductor trying to get all the instruments to play at the same time because I found my zone. I'm in my zone now. And it's only getting worse. And I said, you know what else we do? We go down to Mexico and we build houses for poor families, and then they have a house to live in. And one kid goes, oh, do you fly around the world saving puppies and kittens? And I was like, yes, that's exactly what pastors do. Yes, we do that. I don't know. I have no idea where that kid got that question. But you want to be encouraging, because you don't want to, like, in front of his, you know, class, say he's wrong. He could be crushed for the rest of his life and hate the church and hate God. So you have to be affirming. He'll figure out the truth later. Yeah, that's exactly what pastors do. Fly around the world saving puppies and kittens. I don't even know what job that is. Sure, let's go with that. Well, that went on for another, like, 3 or 4 minutes until the teacher finally put the kibosh on it. Long overdue. And my son for that week was the hero of the third grade, which was really my only goal anyway. And the next day, the guest speaker was a friend of mine who cleans pools for a living. He's got a pool cleaning service. So he came in and was the guest speaker the next day. And he saw me. He ran into me a week later. And he goes, thanks, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Thanks, buddy. And my vision for pastoring changed that day. My vision for what pastors do changed that day. I thought to myself, what if actually pastoring is supposed to be the most exciting thing in the world? What if it's supposed to be more like an Indiana Jones adventure or something heroic like Martin Luther King Jr.? What if it's supposed to be a little bit insane? I mean, what if God's vision for the church is a little bit insane? I kind of have the feeling that's right. I kind of have the feeling that's how it's supposed to be. And the problem is, too many churches have gotten stuck doing the regular and the routine instead of chasing after real life. I want to read to you a passage from the Bible in which a group of people who had been very traditionally religious, who had been very regular and routine, suddenly found real life in the church. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is a story of the early Christians and what they did. Acts chapter 2 at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let me correct myself. God's vision for the church is actually a little bit insane. I mean, reckless love, self-sacrificing generosity, miracles done right in front of people's faces, a complete abandonment of all that is regular and routine for the sake of what real life is all about. A life dedicated to living by the principles of Jesus, following in his footsteps, living like heaven is more real than earth. That's how it was supposed to be. That's how it was in the beginning, and that's how it's supposed to be now. Let me give you a couple of historical examples of people who tried to return back to real life to get the church unstuck from its regular and rigid ways. In the 13th century, there was a young man, probably a teenager, who was growing up and about to leave his father's home. He joined the military for a little bit, but it wasn't really his gig. And then he felt called by Jesus in a vision to rebuild the church. And he took that to mean rebuilding an old monastery, an old church outside of the city that had basically fallen apart and was dilapidated. And he went to his father's store. His father was a wealthy merchant that made clothing and made a lot of money. This is in Italy, so clothing was especially nice. And he went to his father's store and he began to take the clothing and the cloth out and just give it away to people. His father intercepted him, getting rid of all of his family's goods. And he grabbed his son and dragged him in front of the local bishop, who was sort of an authority figure, sort of a sheriff in the town. And he insisted that the bishop tell his son to respect him and obey him. And at that point, Francis of Assisi took off the clothes that he was wearing, handed them to his father, and said, "I'm giving you back everything you've given me." And he moved outside the village into the old dilapidated church. And he began to rebuild the church. And he lived as a beggar. He lived with nothing. And instead, he went around trying to serve the poor in his town and to preach the good news of Jesus to them. Well, eventually, this kind of radical life that he was living attracted some of the other young men in the village who went out and joined him. And they gave up their regular and routine lives, their pursuit of career and family and status. And they began to live as monks with Francis out in the monastery. The movement grew and spread and drew attention to itself. It would multiply throughout Europe. And in a season where Europe was disturbed and mobile, the Franciscan monasteries helped to ground European society. Francis would eventually end up appearing in front of the Pope in Rome and being blessed to have a monastic order in the Catholic Church. And to this day, there are Franciscan monks all over the world who, through Francis' commitment to real life, discovered the teachings of Jesus in a real and authentic way. And now the city of San Francisco bears his name, the city of Francis. Francis knew that Jesus had not called us to regular and routine life. He had called us to real life. It happened again in the 16th century. There was a German monk growing up in a season where the church was very rigid and regulated, where there were all kinds of rules to follow. And he began to read the Bible. He was a professor and a scholar. He began to read the Bible, and at that time, the Bible was only in Latin. And Latin was a dead language. Only the priests knew it. And so that way they could control the information about God's holy book. It was actually forbidden to translate the Bible into the common language of the people. Martin Luther looked at the teachings of the scriptures and then looked at the church around him and realized how far it had strayed from the real authentic life that the early Christians lived in Acts chapter 2. And he wrote out his list of complaints against the church and nailed it to a local church front door. He was excommunicated and banned from the church, but he didn't give up. Instead, he doubled down. He started his own church that was committed to living real life, life grounded in the teachings of the scriptures and not in the customs of the church that the church used to control people. He condemned the church's manipulation of people and of money to get what it wanted. For 1,000 years, the priests had married, and then at about 1,000 AD, the Catholic Church began to forbid priests to marry. Luther said, "That's not in the Bible anywhere. I'm going to do away with that." And he married a nun. I mean, if you're going to go overboard, go in head first. Luther realized that the church had gotten stagnated in the regular and the routine, and he wanted the real life that Jesus promised and that the early Christians lived. There are multiple times in history where the church has gotten stuck. And it takes faithful leaders dedicated to Jesus and dedicated to the study of the scriptures to say, hey, wait a minute, where is real life? Because I think the church has lost sight of it. And here in 2020, we're seeing sort of an unveiling of the churches that have gotten stuck and the places where we've given up our mission for the sake of the regular and the routine. It was about 3 years ago, I was having a friendly debate with a friend of mine who's a professor at a local university, and I asked him about how fast his university was going to get online and do all online classes, and he said, no, it'll happen gradually over a long period of time. This is about 3 years ago. I said, I don't think it will. I think it's going to happen pretty fast. And he said, no, it's going to happen gradually. And I kind of felt worried for him, honestly, because I knew about his influence in his institution, and I felt like he really needed to get on board with this. I said, no, it's going to happen fast. Universities are going to be online before you know it. And he goes, no, it'll happen gradually over time. Look at what 2020 has done. I mean, nobody saw this coming, but all it took was a catalyst to get universities to where they were going anyway. All it took was a catalyst like 2020 to launch us forward. I tell you that story because it would be terribly sinful for me to call up my friend and say, I told you so. So I haven't done that. And there's only like a 1 in a million chance that he'd actually watch this sermon. But there is a chance. No. The reason I say this is because that's kind of a microcosm of what 2020 has done. 2020 has catalyzed all kinds of changes that were already going to happen. It just made them happen faster. And if we are prepared for the changes that we know are coming, then we're better able to weather them. Were universities going to go largely online sooner or later? Sure, sooner or later. Were retail institutions going to fall apart and sell off all of their property? Sure, sooner or later. Were dating habits eventually going to be primarily initiated online? Sure, sooner or later. You look at the world of churches. Were churches eventually going to have to adapt to the technical world and the world of online broadcast? Sure, sooner or later. Were tech companies going to become the biggest companies out there with high-flying stocks? Sure, sooner or later. All these things were in progress. All these things were underway. And if we live with a vision that says, hey, I want to be relevant in the modern world, I care about whether or not people today get the message that I'm trying to preach, then we're better prepared for the catalysts that launch us faster into the future. But look at how many churches out there never prepared, never thought about it, weren't willing to make the changes that they needed to make in order to make Jesus known. Were churches that were baptizing no one eventually going to close their doors? Sure, sooner or later. Were churches that had no children and weren't making any effort to reach families with kids, were they eventually one day going to shutter? Sure, sooner or later. Were churches that had lost the passion for reaching the one lost person instead of just tending to the 99 that were safe, were those churches eventually going to become enclosed and limited? Sure, sooner or later. But 2020 has made our later sooner. And those churches that have been faithful to the vision of reaching a lost world with Jesus still have something to live for. And those churches who existed only to offer the familiar to the already committed so that they could be comfortable at church are rapidly dying. I've read some experts who predict that 1 out of every 5 churches in America is going to close its doors this year. And it was probably going to happen sooner or later. But 2020 has made our later sooner. So let's, as a church, as Real Life Church, commit ourselves to the vision and the mission that called us together. Let's commit ourselves to continuing to live the lives of the disciples in Acts chapter 2. Let's never get stuck in the regular and the routine, which ultimately will kill us. Jesus calls us to the world today. Jesus calls us to go chasing after the one who's lost. Jesus never settles for us offering the familiar to the already committed so they can be comfortable at church. That is not a vision of real life. That's a vision of closing your doors. Let's stay faithful to the vision that Jesus has called us to and never, never let go of it. The property that real life is inheriting this coming year, the property that's being gifted to us, was a congregation that could not sustain. And we're going to love the members of that church, and we're going to love the teachers in that preschool, we're going to love the kids and families in that preschool. But as we grow, let's never settle into the regular and the routine. Let's remember the vision that has gotten us this far and the Lord who gave us that vision. Imagine now what the church could be. Imagine a church, imagine a vision for a church that's always committed to reaching the lost who don't know Jesus. A week ago, I was going through a drive-thru at Chick-fil-A, and the guy who came out and brought me my lunch on a tray saw the Real Life bumper sticker on my car and said, "Oh, do you go to Real Life Church?" He didn't even know who I was, but he recognized the church's logo. And we started talking, and he told me the names of his friends who go to our church. And after I went through the drive-thru, I texted them, and I said, "Hey, make sure to mention to your friend that he's welcome to join our church. He's welcome to come over here and take part." What if the church was always focused on the one more person who's outside looking in the window, wondering what we're doing in here? Imagine a church that's committed to reconciliation, where when people have baggage that they carry because of a conflict with somebody else, their hearts are committed to reconciling, to finding peace. There's a woman in our church who called me a few weeks ago and said, something you said in a sermon prompted me, and I called a friend that I hadn't talked to in a long while, and we started to make up. It's not totally there yet, but I felt the Holy Spirit telling me it was time to reach out. Imagine a church that functions and lives as a house of prayer, where miracles become part of the routine, like the one that Lauren shared with us a couple weeks ago, where she was healed on a prayer call here at the church. Imagine a church that has such deep faith that we just trust that God will work supernaturally in our lives. That's the church that was envisioned in Acts chapter 2. That's the church that Jesus called to life. It was a real church, and not a church of regulations and rules and that which was routine. What I'm suggesting we envision is not science fiction. It's something that's been done before. It was done by the church in the book of Acts. It was done by St. Francis of Assisi. It was done by Martin Luther. And it's been done by Christians throughout history. It's living wholeheartedly for Jesus. This is what it involves. Give your life to Jesus. And not just an intellectual assent to doctrines. Give your life to Jesus and let him guide the way. Live by the teachings of Jesus and not by the norms of the culture around you. Live as though heaven were more real than earth. Live as though love was the only thing that counted. Love like love is the only thing that counts. And give money away like it doesn't. Let's, as a church, be passionate for the Lord that called this church into being, and never get stuck in the rituals and routines that churches tend to get stuck in. Jesus said, "I've got all authority in heaven and on earth, so go on out into the world and make disciples everywhere, and I'll be with you till the end of the world." As we face 2021, let's get unstuck together as a church. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you love us and that you cast vision for us as individuals and as a people. Help us never to lose sight of that vision. Help us to stay passionate for reaching people in love in the name of Jesus. God, help us to have an insane vision for what you call us to and to be prepared for the changes that will, the catalyst that will bring change about in this world. May we live wholeheartedly for Jesus and never settle for anything else. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you again soon.
Thanks for joining us today. Now, will you help us welcome others to Real Life? Share our podcast or find us on Instagram or Facebook at Real Life LA. If you'd like to become a supporter, please visit reallife.la and tap Give to help us welcome everyone to Real Life. God bless and have a wonderful day.